All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're here with Jen Thompson in Jen Thompson's Strength Gym. We're in North Carolina, so Jen was kind enough to invite me over to her home to do a little gym tour, which you'll see before or after this interview, and then do a little interview with her as well. So yeah. Thanks so much, Jen, for coming on.
Thanks for coming on down to Denver, North Carolina. Denver of the East.
Absolutely. First of all, your gym is amazing. I'm loving like all the old school setup and also all of the pieces from going back to what was the year you said?
I started in 1999. Wow. My first world was 1999.
Okay.
Yeah. So nice. It's been some time.
Yeah, no kidding. There's a couple of pieces in here going back that far that were all custom made and welded by what was that company?
It's called Troy. I think it was Troy. In Troy, Michigan, it was Troy Built or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you guys brought this all down here from Michigan,
from
too.
From Michigan, when you moved. Yeah. We had the movers bring it down.
I bet that was a pain.
They were like, they walked in and our gym up in the basement up in Michigan. They're like, so what do you got? Like 800 pounds of weight here? And we're like, yes. That's exactly what we have. Yes.
We have that and more.
They were not happy, especially you came down our driveway.
Like, oh, man.
Coming down.
Dragging all that stuff down the hill. Oh, my goodness. So for those of you that don't, for people that don't know who you are, which I'm not sure who of our audience wouldn't, but give us a little bit of background and then also just some of the records that you've broken.
Okay. Well, I'm Jen Thompson, most known for my bench press. Because I love it, and that's where most of my records are. But I've been powerlifting since 1999. I've won 4 powerlifting world championships, classic, and 7 world bench press championships. I have 9 national raw championships in USA powerlifting. I'm really hoping I'm going to get to 10. Because 9 just seems like a bad number to end on. Like 10 would be so much nicer. But I hold the world record in the bench press. It's 121 right now. Or not 121, I'm thinking kilos, sorry. 321.
Oh, nice.
321 in the 48-pound weight class. But, I mean, I've been in it so long, I've been in multiple weight classes. It was 132 pounds, it was 138, now it's 148. So they keep jogging them all over the place. But so I hold the world record. I've held the world record in the total and the deadlift before also. I don't know, something like 65 world records, something like that.
Just a small number.
Just a few.
And then what else do you do other than lifting?
Well, I'm a mom of 2 awesome teenage boys, and then I've been married for 27 years now.
Congratulations.
I know, right? And then I've taught for 25 years. So I taught math for 20 years, high school, middle school math. Mm-hmm. And then the last few years, I've been doing weight training and nutrition, which is
your alley. Perfect. Where do you teach that?
At Lincoln Charter School. It's about 2 miles from here.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I also saw on your profile that you recently signed up to be a coach for, was it Midland University?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've been helping Midland University, I think the last 3 years with their program. Mainly we go and help them at Collegiate Nationals because I don't know if you've ever been to. It's huge. And it's busy and it's all day. It's 12 hours straight and it's fun because the kids are amazing. But we've been hired on as like, because the head coach is a friend of ours. We used to be on the world team together. And so he's like, I really need you guys to come help me with this. So it's pretty neat because Midland University is an NAIA school in Omaha, Nebraska. And they were sort of the first school to start giving away college powerlifting scholarships and making powerlifting like their number one athletic event. Like they put everything into powerlifting. They have a lot of different sports there, but and then some other schools have followed suit now with giving powerlifting scholarships and really trying to build up their program. So it's kind of neat to see that. I had actually one of my kids, I started a powerlifting club in high school, and small brief story, but she was this, I taught her math and she was sick all the time and something was always wrong with her and she always had her head down. She was always shy, just a pitiful little thing. And I got her to start coming to a powerlifting club. And to see the transformation in this kid is amazing. And she ended up getting a full ride scholarship to Midland University in powerlifting. And she just graduated last year in social work.
That's amazing.
I know. So, I mean, just cool stuff. cool
wow.
stuff.
Wow. It does amaze me just seeing people that don't have that kind of confidence uh-huh. going into strength sports and yep. just skyrocketing.
You see it happen in almost all of them. Like, I start this little powerlifting club after school 3 days a week, and the kids that go in it are not like your football players or your big time athletes. It's usually the kids that don't have a sport they fit into. Like, they're not necessarily like genetically gifted in a certain area or a certain skill. And so it's a lot of times it's the littler kids, you know, or just the kids that just don't have a sport. And to see them gain strength and like just their self-confidence and how they handle themselves and even their grades and their just their the way they socialize from when they start to in 1 year is night and day. Like, it's just, and then the community they create themselves within the gym is just like, it gives me goosebumps. Like, it's so awesome. So just, it's amazing. I think like just this one act of making your body stronger, or maybe being able to lift more weight than you ever thought you were capable of, translates into this whole body, you know, reformation. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's wonderful.
Wow. Do you find that some of the smaller kids like end up having in a good way, like a chip on their shoulder, and end up crushing it in powerlifting just because they're like, well, I used to be this and now look at me?
Well, I don't know. Not yeah. usually. They're usually all very like just so encouraging, and they're high-fiving and they're screaming for each other and everyone's cheering. And it doesn't matter if like you're doing 100 pounds or you're doing 300 pounds. If that's your PR, like everyone's like, PR, let's go, you know, and it just, they get excited about it, and they're definitely more confident. But I wouldn't say chip on your shoulder. They don't get, I haven't seen too many kids. Usually the kids that come in with chips on their shoulders get humbled pretty quickly, and the chip falls off.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Are we talking about, right? I just want to reiterate. So you're at, you said your weight class is 140.
It's 148.8 now.
Okay. And you're competing, are you competing at 148 then?
I weigh in about 142.
142. Yeah. Okay. Because there's a range there. It's from.
Yeah, you have to, the weight class below is now 132. So okay. you have to weigh over 132 pounds to be in the 148 pound.
Okay.
You have to weigh under 132 pounds to be in that weight class.
Gotcha.
So I started off in the 132s. You know, it was 23-24 years ago. I can't get down there anymore. I like to think I just put on too much mass. But there's no, I actually tried last year. I went to the Virginia Pro.
Yeah.
And I tried to get down to the 60s just to see if I could do it, because it had been so long. Mm-hmm. And it was, I got close, but like it smattered my strength.
Oh,
like,
I bet. Well, because you're already super lean as
yeah,
it
is. Yeah, I don't carry a lot of extra anyways, but yeah. I thought, well, this, let's just see if we can do this. And like I made every second attempt, and then I was just done. Like I had nothing. No. So I'm like, clearly, but I don't really want to weigh 149 pounds either. I don't mm-hmm. think that would be good on my frame either. So I'm just going to hang in the middle.
Gotcha. Nice. And do you mind me asking, like, at what age? So where you are now?
I'm 49.
49.
Yeah.
I feel like you're just getting started with, like, crushing every world record in the books.
Well, I've been doing it for a while.
I know. But, like, you're still breaking records.
Still at it. Yeah. I just think it's a longevity sport. I do think, like, the more time you spend in the gym, you build like more base strength. I don't even know if you want to call it mature strength, you know, and you just obviously learn as you go. But it is amazing. Like, I think now, like, I was in my late 20s when I started. Now the girls are starting in their teens and early 20s. And what they're capable of now is, I mean, it's just, it's awe. Like, you know, just, you know, what used to be a good squat and a good bench and good deadlift is nothing nowadays. They're just crushing it in huge ways. And it just goes to show, like, if you can start earlier and you have the knowledge and the power and the coaching and all that sort of stuff, like, I think it's going to be really interesting to see women in particular, because we're coming into this now, what kind of feats of strength they're going to be capable of. I think it's going to be off the charts wild.
That's gonna be insane. I love that powerlifting is still pretty strong, especially with the home gym explosion. It got even bigger.
Oh yeah.
With COVID. Do you think, are there any, for kids that are looking to get into this early, are there any drawbacks or things they need to watch out for getting into it that young, musculoskeletal or anything like that?
Well, I think most of it is just having somebody that knows what they're doing to teach you. Like, it's all about form. I feel like, you know, in the sport, you can be in an injury free for a very long time if you know how to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And you can make sure that we always say to miss with good form. Like, it's better to miss with good form than get it in terrible form, because odds are you're going to hurt yourself. So I think we still have, especially in the high schools, you still see like some old school football coaches that are still teaching the way their football coach taught them how to lift and before and before and before. And we know a lot better of how to do things now. So you still see some of that. So for me, it's like, I mean, we didn't let our boys started lifting when they were 13, 14. And we let them just do, they could only do sets with reps at 8. We didn't let them max out until a little after 14, because it's important that they know how to do it. They know how to do it correctly. If they're going to miss, they're going to miss correctly, and they're not going to hurt themselves. Cause especially at a young age, I mean, you can hurt yourself for a lifetime.
Oh yeah.
And we have actually one of the kids on my son's baseball team. They were squatting and no one was watching, and he went for a huge weight he shouldn't have, and he has severe back problems. And he's 16 years old, and he's going to a chiropractor, and he can't run, he can't walk. And it just, if somebody had been maybe monitoring or taught him how to lift a little better, he probably wouldn't be in that. So I think it's just super important you start off light, and you just, it's one of the reasons I love working with women, is because when you teach them, they don't care about what's on the bar usually. They're like, am I doing this right? And they progressing, doing it right, where guys kind of get in there and it's all about like what they can throw on. And they don't necessarily want to do it right. It's just about, I don't mean everybody, but there is definitely
Can I throw
women
on this
are way
pounds?
Easier to teach how to lift than men, for sure.
I totally get that, being a guy. I totally do.
Yeah.
What you talked a little bit about injuries and longevity, and how do you, first of all, how many injuries have you sustained in your career?
I've had a few. Not all of them were like powerlifting related. Like, most of them were water sport related.
Oh, gotcha.
I got good enough at wakeboarding that I could really hurt myself, is what it came down to. So I've had several surgeries. I had blew out my ACL. I broke my ankle, and I had a neck surgery. So then I finally decided I should stop wakeboarding. And I've had just one hip surgery from, I think, sumo deadlifting over time. I wore some divots in my femur that I had to have taken care of. And then I did hurt myself one time eagle lifting.
First and only time, huh?
First and only time. Yep. I was going for a weight, and I was feeling, honestly, I was like feeling the pressure, because like I had dominated for so many years. Like, no one was even close to beating me.
Wow.
And now all of a sudden I got competition, which is awesome, because you're in it to compete and it's great. And I had lost my first national championships. I tied with Sam Calhoun. I lost on body weight. It was the first time I'd ever lost in many years. And so we were getting ready for the Arnold, and I was deadlifting, and I knew I was progressing my numbers too fast, but I felt this pressure to come back and beat her. And in the end, I hurt myself. And it's been like a 2-year lesson.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Ooh. So that was a tough one.
Yeah.
But so other than that, really one.
Okay.
I would say.
Gotcha. Just from specifically from lifting.
Yeah.
Powerlifting is known for just a gigantic number of injuries, or at least that's the reputation powerlifting has. How do you keep from, other than just not ego lifting, like, how do you stay so healthy?
I think a lot of it's your programming. A lot of it is not ego lifting. Mm. A lot of it is progressing. We have like sort of a rule in our gym, like, if we have, like, we have a plan, of course, when you're going to lift. And so let's say the day is you're supposed to do 250 for 3 sets of 5, you get 5, 4, 4. So next time you can try that again, but you get 5, 4, 3. Then you got to drop back 10% and work your way back up. So we have like this threshold, like if you can't get this, then you got to drop back. Because usually what happens is you get to a certain weight, you get slow because it gets heavy, it gets slow, and you lost your speed. And you hit your line. You know, it's not a continuum up, you plateau, right? So once you hit that plateau, you drop back the weight, you get your speed back, and then you pass that and your new plateau is higher. So a lot of it's just having steadfast rules. We work in a group. So they're going to say, like, you're not pulling back far enough. You're too far over the bar. You're not hitting depth. So it's having people to check. I mean, you can do it easily with video and things like that if you have someone that's going to be honest with you. But a lot of it's staying honest to the form, being honest with yourself, getting rest when you need to rest, taking extra time if you need extra time. But like when I'm working with my kids, they'll tell you very like safety is number one. And like we have spotters, we have loaders. I am constantly correcting their form, making them peel stuff off and doing it correctly. Because for me, like, so that's the number one thing. I don't ever want one of my kids going home saying I got hurt in weight training class today. That would be horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm very on top of what they're doing, and I make sure that they're doing it with good form and can progress carefully.
Yeah. I like your rules too. I mean, you rather do it with less weight, with good form, yeah, than with heavier weight and just blow out your back.
Right. What we say is you need to miss correctly.
Yeah.
And then you should be okay with it because you gave it your all, you were in your slot, and you just didn't have it at that moment or that day. You can come back and get it later. But if you miss incorrectly or you get it incorrectly, well, I had a couple of kids, you know, squat depth is big. You know, it's hard to squat below parallel. Mm-hmm. And so last year I had some really big lifters in there, and I'd be watching them, and they'd be lifting, and they'd be like, how was my squat depth? And if it was too high, I'd say, well, it was a good gym lift. And they get so pissed off. They're like, no, not a gym lift. I'm like, you didn't quite get there, pal. And so then they get upset, and they wouldn't want to progress till they could get that below parallel. But it's like setting that standard where getting it incorrectly with bad form is a bad thing. Hmm. You don't want to achieve that.
Yep.
So you just got to buy into it.
It's good pressure. I like that. Uh-huh. I like that. Do you think, this might be controversial, do you think it's more impressive to break records naturally or on gear?
Well, I'm just going to say naturally. I mean, you're just doing it on your own. But I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with anyone on gear as long as they're not trying to do it in a untested or, tested. So I think, like, if you're on gear, that's your own. I mean, people are doing some amazing things on gear. Like, they're hitting some huge numbers. But, I mean, it is always like you did it with some help.
That's true.
And how much help, and what were you taking?
Yeah.
I want to mention just on the social side that Jen's collaborated with a lot of really big, I'll just name a few. So Juji, Ed Cohn. Have you met Steffi Cohn?
Yeah, we've messaged back and forth, but we've never quite hooked up.
Okay, gotcha. So you've been on tons of podcasts and collab with a bunch of awesome people. Did they just start hearing about, oh, this woman's breaking all these crazy records, let's talk with her? Like, how did that come about?
Sometimes. It is kind of funny how you kind of get into this, I hate to sound elitist, but like an elite class, I guess, or where you're all doing things that are pretty amazing and you kind of draw to each other. I think sometimes you just, because we are what we are, we just end up naturally intertwining. And whether it's an event, like Juji lives 45 minutes from here.
Oh, nice.
So that's how we hooking up. Squat University was helping me with my injury that I had. I met Dana Lynn Bailey. We did a couple of things together because she got into powerlifting. You know, so it wasn't like I think that we actually like sought each other out. You know, it's just somehow, whether it's you're doing something for a charity or doing an event or something, somehow you end up, but you know, you have a healthy respect for what that person's doing. So it's kind of neat to kind of get to know them a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. Hey, Doggy, how's it going?
But it's definitely my bench press status. They got me there.
They saw the bench press and they were like, I want to get that.
That's right.
Nice.
Do you foresee yourself retiring soon and only doing coaching, or do you just want to do this so the wheels fall off?
I'm going to do this forever. Like, okay. I'm going to be 80 and like breaking 80-year-old records.
I love it.
I love it. So I think it's like part of who I am. Like, it's part of, it's what keeps me going. I feel like it's what keeps me young. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't do the things I didn't do if I didn't have an upcoming competition or something to work for. Otherwise, you would just come in here and, you know, you do a few sets here or there and you walk out and you never really improve yourself to be better. So the coaching is kind of a side thing. I like being a lifter more than a coach, honestly.
Okay.
The coaching I like in short pieces. Hmm. I honestly really like working with new lifters opposed to established lifters, because okay. there's just so much to show them. They're like sponges and they can learn. And so the coaching is just kind of a fun side gig that I like to do every once in a while, but I don't do like, I actually tried doing online coaching during COVID because I figured like, well, if I was ever going to try it, now would be the time, you know? And I loved all the people I worked with. Mm-hmm. They were wonderful and I really loved talking to them, but I didn't enjoy, like, I like the person-to-person stuff. I don't like the just watching videos and the Zooms. Oh. especially from when we were online teaching, Zooms gave me, I don't know, I'm like PTSD from that.
Zoom fatigue.
Zoom fatigue. But I'm a people person. I like talking to people and meeting new people. And so for that, that's fun for me. But it's not all of me. It's a part of me. Like I get, like when I come in, I work out, and then I do not want to spend any more time in this gym. I want to go for a hike or go out in the water or read or do lesson plans or whatever. But I'm not like a gym rat where I like to just hang out in a gym. Like everyone's always like, why don't you open a commercial gym? I would hate that. Like I would never want to sit in a gym that long.
That makes sense. For somebody who's aspiring to be you, who wants to break records for the rest of their life, mm-hmm. where do you start with that? Did you 20 years ago, were you intentionally saying, I want to break a local and then a national record? Did you just say, I just wanted to get strong and then it happened?
Well, I just wanted to get strong to start with. I mean, when I first started, I didn't even know powerlifting was a thing. Like I was just working out with the gym bros in this little gym basement. I was a runner. I was a long distance runner. Yeah. And I did it because my dad was a runner and it's something we could do together, but I really didn't enjoy it other than running with him. And so I was running in college just to stay in shape and not gain the freshman 15 and let myself go really. And so how I met my husband was he was lifting and taught me how to lift. And so, I just enjoyed that way more than running. Mm. And then I also was like a little skinny twiggy girl. So it was neat to get some shape, like, you know, get some shoulders and some biceps and a booty and some leg muscles. And so I loved that transformation of it. And then we just happened to find powerlifting. Like we just ran across it in a meet. We're like, oh, this is a sport. This is great. So I didn't really kind of go into it with any aspirations. My first meet I went into, I broke all the American records. I had no idea I was lifting that much compared to everybody else.
Oh, my word.
I know. I had no idea. I mean, I was lifting with three other guys in a basement gym for a couple years. No idea. And the internet wasn't there. You know, there was no internet. So you didn't like, you know, if you wanted to know how someone did in a competition, you had to look in the back of a magazine to see what the results were.
Right.
Like there was no...
Wow.
I know, that's how old I am.
You had to mail in the judges and be like, who made what?
Yeah, you had to mail in an entry. They would advertise it in the back of the magazine, and then you would fill out a paper entry form, and you would mail it to them. Ooh. And then it was just very archaic, very caveman.
I like it. So your recommendation would just be start out trying to get strong and then go from there.
Yeah, I mean, you can... So, you know, you got to start off with just what I call base strength. So you have to start off with just getting your body strong. But then you start, if you decide you want to compete, you start specializing, right? You start adding in things that are going to improve your bench, different variations and different ways of loading to improve your squat and your deadlift. So you start getting, it becomes a science almost, or you become a student of trying to lift big weights. Mm. And then it's who can figure out the best combination for themselves, though, because we're all very different, right? We all have different schedules. Like I always, when we're doing seminars and things like that, you know, people want to give you like, this is the secret, it's this. But everyone's secret's different. Mm. So it's hard to say that because everyone, you're like, I know you want me to tell you like, this is how you will do amazing things. But because we don't all live the same life and have the same genetics and limbs and, I mean, you got to figure out what works for you and most of all, you have to really enjoy it. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you don't enjoy and have fun doing it, you're never going to get as strong as you could.
That's what I keep telling people about. Like lifting programming is the same way. Like you and I were talking about power building versus power lifting versus bodybuilding, that kind of thing. Like if you don't have something that you're going to stick to, you might as well just not be lifting in the first place, because you're going to burn out on that eventually. Mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah. Well, like our programming, like we're on version 22. Oh, wow. I think. I mean, you always have we're always changing, trying new things, adding new exercises. I get bored real easy. So, like, I'm constantly, like, we do our three main lifts, but I'm changing up my accessories always.
Oh, wow.
Because I hate doing the same thing over and over again. So I think that some of the thing is, like, you know, you have to, some people love doing the same thing over and over again. That's fine. Then use that to get stronger. But for me, like, I got to do a lot of different stuff to get myself excited and want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so we're constantly rotating around and doing different things. But you have to be willing to try things for a while. Throw out what doesn't work, try in new things. I mean, that's why I love going to competitions, because we sit around, we shoot the shit. Hey, what are you doing for this now? Or, mm-hmm. Hey, I started doing this. You should try that. And I could try it and it could be horrible. Or I could try it and it's going to be great for me. You just don't know. But that's sort of the fun of it, is figuring out the little puzzle pieces.
Yep, absolutely. So, actually, in that same vein, why powerlifting? Why not? Is it just because you got started with a bunch of other guys that were just powerlifting? Like, why not bodybuilding? Why not Olympic lifting?
Well, I didn't do bodybuilding because I'm not into the aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want, and this is nothing against bodybuilders. They're wonderful and beautiful. But I don't want to stand up in front of people and have them judge me. Like, I just don't. And I'm not real comfortable standing up in front of not a lot of clothes in front of people.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is probably hard for them to get by and get used to and go and do. I mean, it takes a lot of self-confidence to do that. But it's just not something that appeased, like, I just, and the competitor in me didn't like that. Mm. I toyed with the idea of doing Olympic weightlifting when I started doing well. But there just wasn't a lot of coaches that could teach you how to do it around here.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I just really liked the powerlifting. Like, I kind of toyed with the idea for a while, mm-hmm. but just, I don't know, never grabbed me.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Gotcha. Have you ever done, I know you talked about weightboarding a little bit, any other sports that you've done that you really enjoyed or done in concurrence with powerlifting?
Yeah. Well, I love doing Ninja Warrior kind of stuff.
Ooh.
They have some gyms around here that are fun. I did one with Juji. On one of his videos, but I love, like, when I was in high school, they had this class called Marine Fitness.
Oh.
And it was kind of almost, I think, like an early CrossFit kind of thing. We worked to do as well as we could on the Marine Fitness test, which was push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and all that sort of stuff. But then we did all these other things, like rope climbs and stadium stairs and different jumping methods and things like that, and I loved it. So I think that kind of, I think I built a lot of upper body strength that most women didn't have because I was doing all that stuff and a lot of girls weren't. But because of that, like, I have a strong upper body. So I love, like, the Ninja Warrior stuff. We mess around, do strongman stuff across the street all the time. I've never done a competition, but I just love trying new things. And then I do love hiking, and we'll do water sports, and
yeah.
I always like trying things.
It's perfectly in a great spot for that kind of stuff too. do you find that the kid? I've heard this about football, that kids that are in baseball, for example, or lacrosse, as well as other sports, tend to do better in specific sports for whatever reason than kids that just specialize. I don't know if it's age or what it is in that specific sport. Mm-hmm. Do you find the same thing for powerlifting when you're coaching kids that are in different disciplines, or do you know that it matters?
I don't know that it matters, honestly, but I have heard that there's been some media and some talks about how you really want your kids to be multi-sport. Mm. I think to me some of that might be just burnout, like like of being in one all the time.
Yeah.
But like my boys, they play a lot of different sports when they're little, but they just fell in love with baseball and then powerlifting also, so they've been just doing those two sports for quite a few years now. But I just think, like, some kids are like the kids that walk in, the ones that are just more body aware, like, can pick it up really easy. And then there's some kids that, I mean, to get them to learn how to squat is like so hard. Like, but we keep working. It's usually the kids that haven't done anything. Mm. Like, they haven't done any sports at all in their whole life. And then they've decided they want to try powerlifting, which is great. It just takes them a lot longer to develop those stability muscles and just the body movement and how to get your body to do what we're asking it to do. And yeah, it's a challenge.
Sure. I get that. I'm looking up there and I'm seeing your whole family involved with lifting. So do your kids compete and does your husband compete as well?
Yeah. I started first. Donovan coached me. He was a high school wrestling coach for many years. Mm-hmm. Then we got into this powerlifting thing and he's a really good coach. After I think the first year I did, we got in an argument about something and I was like, well, you don't know, you've never done one. He was like, okay, well, I'll go do one. So we did one together and then he's been in ever since. So he's really good, a master's lifter. He's won a few master titles. He's got an open bench press national title. And then our boys kind of flew into it because this was like their play gym when they were little. Mm-hmm. We'd be in here working out and they're climbing all over stuff and jumping with the bands and whatever. So they got into it. They both competed at high school nationals. Tucker took first as a freshman his first year.
Congrats, holy
which
cow.
Was great. Yeah. And then he lifted there was a COVID year, and then he lifted last year and he took third in a really stacked weight class. So he did really well. Wow. And then Brody took fourth in his. So, although he said that was it, he was done. So I'm not sure.
I'm out.
I think he's like, yeah, that's the last one I'm doing. I said, that's fine, but you still have to lift weights to be good at baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Know, like if you want to be, you can play any sport you want, mm-hmm. but if you want to be better than everyone else, you better have some weight training in there. You don't have to max out and lift and compete, but you do have to work those muscles and get strong if you want to have a leg up.
Yeah, absolutely. How is lifting and being a mom, especially in the early days? I'm really curious.
Well, that was rough.
Yeah. How was that? Like, what did that look
like? It was really
like?
Hard, honestly. We have a home gym, which made it nice. But then, you know, we would have the kids, you know, they're 2 years apart. One would be running around diapers. The other one we'd be rocking and giving a bottle as we're in between sets and things like that. And I think for probably 3 or 4 years, my numbers stayed pretty stagnant as far as like what I could lift. I was just kind of maintaining with how tired and exhausting everything and fun everything was. But it was very difficult. And that is something that you don't see. I was talking with Molly Galbraith of Girls Gone Strong. They just put together a postpartum workout program for women because even in my sport and a lot of sports, you look at Serena Williams, mm-hmm. There's not very many women that continue their sport after they have children.
Yeah.
It's a very small percentage. Yeah. Serena's one mm-hmm. of the tennis players. I don't know that there are any other ones. And then even in powerlifting, I can name in one hand the number of women that have had children and continued on after. And I think some of it is just not knowing. Like, I think there needs to be a lot more, like with Molly, they have a program that helps you continue doing it, but I just think it's exhausting, it's hard.
Yeah. I was gonna ask here, along those same lines, what would you say to other moms that are trying to find time to enjoy things like lifting, mm-hmm. you know, like how were you able to manage that? What advice do you have for them?
Well, you have to make it a priority. Now it's a lot easier with like commercial gyms. They usually have some sort of childcare now that you can, or you can ask any, but it's just making a priority and realizing that you actually, you know, if you're not, after you put the kids to bed, you know, a lot of times you're watching a show or hanging out. It's just taking that time earlier and actually getting the workout in. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But it's there if you're willing to make it a priority to do it. And you might have to adjust some things so that you're only working out for an hour. You know, you might have to adjust do more of a speed workout or things like that. But I do think it's possible. And I think, you know, now we know a lot more and there's a lot more opportunities as far as home gyms, commercial gyms, having, you know, getting in a community maybe with other moms and taking turns with watching the kids. And that's a lot of things that we did when my kids were little is we would rotate around, you know, to the kids, you know, so we could do different things and stuff. So we all took a day. So I think, I mean, it is possible to do it. It's just, I think it's hard because you're tired. But then with weight training, what I find is once you get in there, then it like actually energizes you. Like once you just get in there and you get going, then you're like, oh, yeah, this is what I want. And then yet fire turns on. It's just getting yourself there. That's hard because you are exhausted from, you know, the work and the kids and all that sort of stuff. But I think it's more like self-care you know, now. Like, it's our, we were talking with some friends the other day, it's our time. Not only do we work out, but we debrief about our day. We tease each other. We tell jokes. We show the latest, like, funny TikTok, you know. So it is, like, even though you're working out and getting stronger, it is a time to de-stress and forget about all the other things going on in the world and just give yourself that hour to 2 hours that you need. So I think, you know, I like this term self-care now, because we probably, now that we've labeled it, we realize that we need it, you know. Yeah. Where before it'd be like, you know, you're going to the gym, you know, now it's like, I have to go to the gym to be the better person you want me to be.
And yeah. Believe me, you don't want me before I go to the gym.
I know, like, made me a better mother for sure. That and red wine.
I understand.
And naps.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness, yes. So even with our kid, we've got a 1 and a 2-year-old.
Oh boy.
So I'm with you there. I wanted to get into the juicy stuff with IPF and USAPL. Uh-huh. I don't know how much you can say, so stop me if
I'll only tell you what I want to.
All right, sounds good. So for those of you that don't know, so IPF recently kicked USAPL to the curb, which is insane and asinine. And I've gone to a USAPL meet, that's where I saw you. Because USAPL was not doing, supposedly, the testing that the IPF wanted them to do. Can you explain a little bit more? I'm sure I missed half of it, but
yeah, it's so the IPF really has these grand goals of becoming an Olympic sport. That's really kind of what they, well, since I've entered the sport in 1999, that's been their goal. So we haven't got very far in that goal. They're like, I don't know, there's this bottom umbrella of the IOC that we're in, like, in there somewhere, but like nowhere near becoming an Olympic sport. But it's something that they've strived to do for a while. And then so they decided, and we've applied a lot. IPF has applied a lot to get into the IOC. And it seems like every time they come back, like, okay, but you need to do this now. It's like one time I was put onto this entourage committee that we needed to have in order to be IOC compliant. And then we had to do this youth committee. And so every time, like, we've gone, okay, take us in, they're like, oh, but you need to do this and this and this. And it's been going on for years. So I'm not entirely sure what happened, but they decided that they needed to be WADA compliant, which is World Anti-Doping Agency.
Right.
Which is what the Olympics uses for their anti-doping. Actually, there's a great show on Netflix right now about how crooked they are.
Oh, I'm sure.
We need to watch it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
My husband watched it. He's like, you've got to see this. But, you know, it's the whole thing with the Sochi Olympics. That was all WADA, you know, with the, what was the name of that? Icarus?
Is that right?
I think so. Okay. Anyway, so WADA, so they're in charge of your doping, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And as USA Powerlifting, we're like, that's fine, but we're going to continue doing all the anti-doping, because we drug test at every event.
Yeah.
10% at local events, and then we do out-of-meet tested. I got out-of-meet tested just a few
weeks
ago.
Exceed the expectation.
Yeah, so we go way above and beyond as far as drug testing goes. And the funny thing is, like, the ADFPA used to be an into the IPF, and they kicked them out because they were too dirty. And they brought in USA Powerlifting because we were a cleaner organization. That's what they wanted. And they kicked us out because we were too clean, I feel like. But so anyway, I think to get to the IOC, they felt they needed to be WADA compliant, which was fine. But then they told it's a small organization, and they don't do a lot of drug testing.
Yeah.
So by going WADA, so you're WADA compliant. If you're a country and you say I'm WADA compliant and you don't do any drug testing at all, you're WADA compliant.
Yeah, it's BS.
It's like there's none going on. So essentially they reduced a lot of the drug testing by becoming WADA compliant, which seems sort of weird. Mm-hmm. So we said, okay, we'll be WADA compliant, but we're going to keep doing our own stuff. And they said, no, you can't do that. You can only use WADA facilities. Well, like our drug tests, I think are... Like if you just do a urine test, I think it's $125 for a urine test right now. For IOC, it's like $2,000. Like it's like the
for one test,
and they have to fly or get their people to come in and
forget that.
It was crazy, and we actually did for our, like when we were going through this whole thing with them, we actually had we had collegiate nationals. We said, okay, we're going to be WADA compliant for this. WADA, come in and do our collegiate nationals. Well, they didn't even come for the first day of testing, of lifting at all. They had one kid there. He was a sub-junior lifter. He broke the open world record in powerlifting by tons, and they didn't test him. Like, it was just, it was crazy. I think they did two or three tests, and it was like a 1,000-person meet or something like that. I mean, it just was crazy. So it really, there was a lot of underlying going on with this whole thing. So while we were trying to fight to stay in the IPF and say, listen, you know, when basketball goes to the Olympics, you know, they're WADA compliant, but they can test however they want. And they could have let us continue the way we were doing. They just decided they didn't want to. Like, there was no reason not to. They just, basically, they wanted us out because they were already working with a subgroup that was going to come in and take over. So it was just, I don't know. It's sad for me because I have 11 IPF titles, and I'm super proud of it. And it was a really great time where, I mean, I can remember in, I think it was in Hungary, WADA showed up in their big yellow coats, and Russia was, you know,
oh, man.
And they literally were taking lifters off the platform and testing them. And I actually had taken second place, but after they tested the lady I lost to, I got first because she was hot, you know. And so it was they came in and they really made a big difference. But that was years ago, and I don't know. It seems like it's gone the other way.
Sort of a shell of what they used to be, yes. Essentially.
Yeah.
So would it have been better? So USAPL got kicked off IPF, and. Would it have been better if you guys hadn't done any WADA testing at all, kind of like those other countries have? Like, just say you're WADA compliant and just not done anything?
Well, no, because then we wouldn't be clean anymore.
Well, of course, but I mean, just not to spend all the money.
Because we talked about, like, you know, we could, I mean, when it came down to it, it's like we couldn't afford to do WADA testing. Yeah. And not even that, they didn't have the manpower to do the tests that we do currently. Like, they were unable to accomplish the testing that we do.
For less.
For yeah. Even if we were playing on full price, they still couldn't do the test. They don't have the people. Like, it's not a very big employee kind of situation. So they couldn't even do what we're doing. So we tossed around with, like, maybe we'll just do it at the national level. But then we thought, you know, if we don't do it at the local level, you're going to have not clean at the local level. And then you're going to have people breaking, like, national world records at the local level, but not at the national level because it's tested at the national level. So we came together, like, as state chairs and really hashed this out, and where were we willing to go with this. And what it came down to is drug testing super important to us at the local level and up, and we're not willing to compromise on that.
Yeah.
And so we didn't.
Makes sense. So I'm curious, has USAPL adopted some of these idiotic rules? Well, maybe they're not so idiotic, but like the bench press rule that came out recently. Okay.
No.
So they stayed away from
the
that nonsense.
The only thing we did change-wise so far is we got rid of the head-up rule on the bench press.
Okay.
Like,
can't leave the bench.
Well, now you can in ours.
Okay.
So it used to be a rule, like, well, in IPF, you can't lift your head off the bench. You had to keep it down. Mm-hmm. And so we took that out where you can lift your head up because that really isn't. And there's actually, like, if you talk about masters lifters, there's people that literally can't put their head down on the bench. And honestly, it's a silly rule because only a head referee can see it anyway. So we got rid of that because that was kind of a silly rule. But we haven't made any other, I don't think, significant rule changes, just that one. I don't know what's going to happen with the bench rules. I think it'll be interesting to see how it gets enforced in the IPF and what happens with that. I haven't heard any talk with USC Powerlifting about changing that at all, but you never know.
It seems like it's going to be somewhat arbitrary. What is the exact rule? I didn't look that far. I know it's just like you have to break
your elbow has to break the shoulder joint.
Okay, so it has to break parallel with the shoulder joint.
Yeah.
Okay.
But gotcha. Like, how you can tell that? I don't know. I mean, the idea is to get away from the zero bench, which I appreciate the effort in that. I just think the rule that they put in is going to be very hard for referees to call, but call consistently among everybody. So I'm not sure. We'll see how that goes.
Just ban acrobats? No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it's been a controversial topic forever, like how to limit these huge arches. You know, at one point they talked about, like, hanging a string from the bar and that it would have to at least move the length of the string, you know, no matter what you did. And they've had all these different kind of ideas. I know, like, Johnny Candido came up with, like, having different bars for different weight classes with the rings at different lengths. You know, because really the zero benches come from small people being able to put their hands all the way out to the rings, right? And get a big arch. Mm-hmm. So if you made the rings in closer, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Interesting.
But then you would have to have different bars for all different weight classes, and that just gets a little crazy too. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see how it turns out.
That was a wild one for me. Do you think there's any merit to standardizing something like the deadlift so that you have like sumo classes versus conventional classes, or do you think it really doesn't matter as much?
I think you're probably just complicating things. I don't honestly don't think it matters. I mean, to me, my personal opinion is you lift in the one you're stronger in.
Sure.
So people that call sumo deadlifting cheating call it cheating because they're not good at it.
Like, fair.
They're better at conventional. Like, I don't conventional because I'm better at the sumo, but I would do the other one if I was better at that one. I mean, it's body types and strengths and things like that. It's picking the weight up off the floor. I mean, I think almost now it's like kind of just sort of funny jokey stuff. Like, I mean, you don't really see too many sumo deadlifts where you're barely moving the bar.
No.
Like, most people have to move at a significant distance to get to the top.
You have to have, like gigantic monkey arms.
That's a rarity. So I don't know. I don't know. It's annoying, really.
I get it.
I mean, you could, but I mean, it just, I don't know. We have so many divisions already.
Like, oh, I know, yeah.
Adding more divisions.
Exactly. Just splitting it up. Going back to your gym that we were talking about here a little bit at the beginning, what is your favorite piece of gym equipment that you have here currently?
I really love that belt squat machine.
Yeah.
It's the newest one, and I do think it's what's going to give me longevity in my career. Because you can squat a ton of weight without loading up your spine. And so because I've had hip issues and things like that, I'll do some heavy doubles on the squat bar, but I do my main work on this belt squat.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, because you can still work all the squatting muscles and do a lot of weight, but save your spine and your shoulders and whatever. So I think that's going to be my gift to lifting into my 80s is that machine right there.
Very cool. Is there anything that you don't have that you have an eye on that you would love to have in the gym that's kind of a favorite?
Well, Kabuki Strength has some amazing stuff coming out, and they have their, I think it's called the Transformation Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? That looks amazing. I would like one of those.
Incredible. You can do like 10 different lifts with
it. Isn't that awesome? I mean, he's just, we did an interview with him, and he's just an interesting guy. He has audio book out now and a book that he wrote. And the audiobook on his website is free if you listen to it. I mean, I don't know if you know anything about him, but he had the most bizarre upbringing ever. And like, just, you think like, there's no way that could happen. but it's made him, you know, who he is today. And he's a successful guy. He's very smart. So I would take that bar if he handed it to me.
Kabuki Transformer. It's fantastic. They've iterated on that thing 3, 4, 5 times already too.
Yeah.
So it's nice.
It looks really cool. And it looks like, you know, like Transformer cars. Like,
yes.
You know, it's like Transformers more than meets the eye.
Exactly.
But it's like a barbell. So cool.
The angles are incredible in that one. And then on that topic, just because I like talking about fitness equipment, is there a... I won't give you an easy out. So other than a bar, is there a good first piece of gym equipment for beginner lifters that you would recommend?
I mean, really, all you need is a squat rack and a bench, and you can do so much.
Yeah.
A barbell, a squat. I have a couple of kids at school that want to start a home gym, and they don't have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking on Amazon, and you know, they have just two stands. Mm-hmm. I can give them a cheap bar that we have in the school and then just a little bench to put in. And, like, you can do so much stuff with just that.
Yeah.
So, honestly, you don't need a lot. I mean, it's probably not the best equipment. It's pretty cheap looking. But for starting out, you know, you can do 8 zillion variations on things. And if you can get some dumbbells, you're all set.
Yeah.
But even dumbbells, you can do a lot of stuff with just plates. So you can get it. People have gotten very inventive during this COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, you can search out different exercises, and there's 8 million ways that you can, like, if you don't have a GHR. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's eight different methods you can just do on your own by putting your feet over something or using bands or like just leaning over the end of a bench or like people have gotten creative. I think it's awesome.
It was wonderful seeing all of that invented, especially the DIY stuff that they came out with. Uh-huh. Kaizen DIY, for example, was doing a lot of like woodworking kind of things. You could just get from Home Depot and make your own stuff.
Yeah. Heather Connor, I don't know if she's a world champion over in Raleigh. Oh. I was watching some of hers and her dad made her a bench out of wood, you know, so she could train for the worlds because, you know, she couldn't get to the gym and he made her all this cool stuff out of wood. It was so great.
Have you ever, speaking of that, have you ever seen the starting strength bench?
I don't think so.
Straight up a slab of like hickory.
Oh, really?
No padding.
Well, we have a friend of ours, Will Garcia out of California. And, you know, California, it's tough to live there.
Yeah.
And so he has an ER bench in his dining room. And I love all his videos. And his wife is so understanding because all his lifting, his guy friends come over there in this tiny apartment in L.A.
Oh, my word.
And they have their ER rack in the dining room. That's like their furniture piece. So I thought, like, if it was made out of wood and made it look nice, it could be a nice furniture piece.
That's true.
And get you strong.
Hey, there you go.
It's a niche for you.
Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, my goodness. That's all the questions I have for you, Jen. Thank you so much for
coming on.
Really appreciate it. I'm going to let you give us some plugs. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you or what you're doing?
Well, pretty much all my stuff's Jen Thompson 132 because 132 was my weight class when I first started.
So perfect.
My website's 132 pounds of power. Instagram's Jen 132. TikTok 132. Facebook 132 pounds of power. My YouTube's 132 pounds of power.
Awesome.
I do want to plug that we're having a strength seminar in Miami.
Ooh.
The last weekend in May.
Awesome.
With Dr. Kristen Lander and Sisters of Iron.
Yep.
So look for more information on that. That's going to be really fun. It's going to be a fun festival strength weekend. So I wanted to plug that while I'm in
my
here.
Miami too. That'll be fun.
And of course, you know, I love my A7 and SSP Nutrition. They're great companies. They've got some neat technology coming out with these belts soon. Stay tuned. But
sweet.
It's going to, I think, revolutionize the powerlifting belt pretty soon here. They were always tinkering and coming up with some new and interesting stuff. So, and they're super supportive of just America and powerlifting and grassroots and community.
Awesome.
They support all these community events. So that's why I love them.
When I was looking into competing, that was one of the only belts that I was considering because it had quite the reputation. So
yes, good stuff.
I like it. Awesome.
Thanks for
having me. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for coming on.
I enjoyed it.
Appreciate it.